And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, today is Wednesday, January 4th. Happy New Year to everyone. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I am Gino. I'm here with Darren. Kevin, still under the weather. He's out there. He's trying to get healthy. He's trying to come back. You can listen to us any way you get your podcasts. Please like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, send us post thoughts, questions. Week 17 of the NFL season is in the books. Good news for Giants fans, bad news for Giants. But right now, the sports world is reeling. After a good week 17 in the NFL, in college football, a lot of good bowl games. But then Monday night, everything stopped. And we had the Bills and the Bengals queued up for a great game. Playoff seeding implications all over the place. But with around 6 minutes left in the first quarter, Damar Hamlin hit. T. Higgins seemed like an innocent tackle, and he just collapsed. He's now in critical condition after his heart had stopped following the tackle. It's horrible. It's gut-wrenching, and the whole NFL is just like in freeze mode. It was quite a scene watching it. Nothing any of us have ever seen before. Darren, what do you got to say about it?
Yeah, pretty much more than a game. You know, we were texting a little bit as everything was going on, and you're just saying to yourself, "Well, first and foremost, I'm sitting here. I have two screens in my in my basement, and I'm watching the Rutgers Purdue game with the Buffalo Cincinnati game on the other screen without volume, and I'm going back and forth by plays. Rutgers trying to upset the number one team in the country, so I'm kind of glued to it. I like college hoops, as you know. And also, I see the play in Cincinnati and a tackle, and I'm like, okay, think nothing of it. Just a regular tackle. There was no helmet to helmet. There was no amazingly difficult hit, nothing like that. And then I look over, I'm watching a little bit more of the basketball game. I go back over, and they're down. I'm like, oh, I must have missed a play. I didn't even think it was the same play because we have never seen – well, I've never seen a guy get up and then go back down. Usually when we see football injuries that are severe – the guy just doesn't get up. It's usually more of, you know, some sort of fear of paralysis, helmet to helmet, concussion, stuff like that. He got up and went down, and that was the scary part for everybody. And then they just kept going to break and going back and forth and really had nothing to say because these are, you know, it was unprecedented for them. And for the announcers, I thought Buck did a really good job, to be honest with you, considering everything that was going on. And, you know, it just wasn't, you just kind of knew that there was no way these guys could go back and play. It was like there was a lot of tears on the sideline. A lot of guys just clearly watched the teammate die, basically, and get revived. I mean, that's basically what happened. I don't know how you come back from that. It was a very, very jarring thing. You expect this in boxing. You know, I mean, listen, there's a few examples. Benny Perrette in 1962 and Emil Griffith killed him in the ring, basically, just kept hitting him. And that was all, you know, little pre-fight stuff. Emil Griffith was, you know, had rumors about him being gay. And Perrette joked about that. And Emil Griffith killed him in the ring. Came out when he was 74 years old. So apparently Benny was right a little bit. But nonetheless, died in the ring. Then you had Ray Boom Boom Mancini kill Dooku Kim. But Dooku Kim kind of got up, went back to his corner, sat down. Then they put him on the stretcher. He died 4 days later from the swelling of the brain. Hank Gathers, 1990, Loyola Marymount in a first-round West Coast Conference game against Portland, who had Eric Spoelstra on this team, by the way. I didn't realize that. Looking it up, I was like, wow, I didn't know Spoelstra even played. He played at Portland. He was on the court that day. That wasn't really televised, so none of us really saw that, but we all heard about it. He was the leading scorer in the country that year. And then in 97, you know, Reggie Brown against the Jets apparently had to be revived on the field, but they continued playing the game. And as fans, we didn't know as much about what had happened. It was kind of kept more quiet, but now with social media and Twitter, you can't keep anything quiet. I thought it was nice that the Bills and some Bengals helped make a big circle around him so that the people didn't have to see what was going on. And he was able to, you know, his mom didn't have to see and all that other stuff, even though she was there and went to the game. But it was the first time I ever watched a sporting event where I was glad that they canceled it. I've never been that guy before in my life. What was it? Play the game. I mean, this time I'm like, they can't play this game. I mean, and it's a mess now for the NFL a little bit, but you can't play this game. You know,
it is a mess, and we could actually get into that right now too. So, you know, it's terrible. It's horrible. The NFL did the right thing by not continuing on Monday night. We all know that both teams, after seeing that, just could not get back out on the field to do it. So if it was provoked by the NFL, fine. If it wasn't, fine also. But, you know, they did a good job by not going back out there. But as you said, the NFL is in a bind. They don't know. I don't think that they figured out what to do. I heard what could be a very interesting way to do it, and that is they'll play Week 18 this coming week, and then the following week when the playoff starts, they'll make that first weekend all NFC games and the Bills-Bengals, and then the second week they'll make all AFC, so that way you're dividing them up. It means,
I didn't hear that. That's interesting.
Yeah. It has not been confirmed. It's just an idea out there. It's an interesting way of doing it. They're probably gonna, if they're gonna try to play this game in some fashion, you're probably gonna wind up with no second week between the end of the playoffs and the Super Bowl,
which nobody cares about anyway.
Well, the only people that care about it are the media.
Made the Pro Bowl. Right.
So we'll see what happens with that. It is at the moment, Buffalo's got 12 wins. Cincinnati's got 11. It's close. You know, we don't know exactly.
And Kansas City has 13.
Kansas City, right. I was just going through the two teams, though. So,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You know, it does make a difference. Kansas City does have 13 at the moment, and it makes a big deal with the seedings. And if you went through the last like 10, 15 years of teams making the Super Bowl, you can definitely see that there is a gap between the 1 and 2 seeds, specifically the 1 seed, getting into the Super Bowl compared to the other seeds. So it's a bye week. It's home playoffs throughout the whole thing, and it makes a big deal. So we'll see what happens. I mean,
yeah, it used to be where it was just one, two teams that would get byes, and now it's only one.
Yep.
And it used to be, I'm not just used to be, but it always was that you wanted to have that championship game in your building and kind of control, you know, the atmosphere. And that's a nightmare. The NFL unintentionally, but pulled off a nice one in getting the Chiefs to play on Saturday. If the Chiefs happen to lose Saturday to the Raiders, not an impossibility, as you saw what the Raiders did with San Francisco, anything's possible. And the Bills happen to beat the Patriots, then it really doesn't matter. Then the Bills would be the one. The Bills could be the one seed, and obviously it depends on Cincinnati and Baltimore, because then there would be a battle for the 2 or the 3 between Kansas City and Cincinnati if Cincinnati did beat Baltimore. But, it's like something that we haven't really seen before. You know, it's a little like throwing that up in the air. I mean, listen, there was fantasy championships. You know, you and I talked about that yesterday. There was, people making picks for, like, you know, pools and stuff like that. There was a lot of stuff going on that was very much affected. I happen to be in, I have probably had the two nicest human beings on the planet, because we had a dispute in ours in the third place game where I recommended a split. And the one guy that was in the lead said, yeah, that's fine. And the guy losing said, no, it's okay. He can have the whole thing. I don't think I deserved it. Then the guy in the lead said, no, but you might've come back. And then the other guy said, yeah, but I don't know if I deserve it. And then they decided on the split anyway, but it was like the two nicest human beings I could have had on this one. So it was like, it was really, really interesting. I'm sure there are other leagues where there's where there's people cursing at each other. So it's we worked out pretty lucky in our third place game. The championship was already decided. Not the most important thing. I'm not trying to say it is. DeMar Hamlin's the most important thing. We're hearing that he has some signs of improvement, which are nice. He's still in critical condition. Really, all we do is hope the kid lives. We also want to make sure that, you know, that he didn't, lose that much oxygen to his brain where he's not himself after this too. If he does live, you want him to live a normal life, even if he never plays football again, who cares?
Yeah,
to be healthy. And listen, we knew DeMar Hamlin only as, you know, he was the backup safety that came in for Micah Hyde when he got hurt. You know, I mean, that's kind of how we knew him. He was a young player, you know, not making a ton of money, sixth round pick out of Pitt, you know, a lot of little things about him that, you know, you saw him. He had a big hit a couple of weeks ago against the Jacoby Myers in the Patriot game, and he got fined. I mean, but outside of that, you know, just a good young player. And it's scary. I mean, there was the scene in 71 where the Detroit Lion player, I'm trying to remember his name, Chuck Hughes, the wide receiver, he collapsed right near Dick Butkus. He was running back to the huddle, and he died on the field. But there was no even sports media at that point. You don't even hear about Chuck Hughes. Until this happened, I didn't even know that the Chuck Hughes thing ever happened. I didn't even know that happened. So this was kind of like, it was a little shocking on Monday, and you know, it's just an unfortunate thing, and just hope that the young man, you know, makes it.
Yeah, our thoughts and prayers are going out to everyone in the Buffalo organization and DeMar Hamlin and his family. This is a sports show, so we're gonna go through the rest of the NFL. So good news and bad news in New York football last week. So the Giants had a good win against Indianapolis. They clinched the playoff spot. Indy was up 3-0 after the first quarter. They did nothing after that. They held Barkley to 12 carries for 58 yards, but it didn't matter because Daniel Jones was super Dan. 19 for 24 for 177 yards and two touchdowns. He ran for 91 yards and two touchdowns. Dable ends the 5-year streak of losing seasons for the Giants. They're back in the playoffs since 2016. Only one negative, and that was the Kayvon Thibodeau demonstration on the field after
the snow angels after Foles is laying there motionless, kind of, and in tons of pain, obviously.
Listen, it's a bad sign for the rookie. Listen, he claims he didn't see Foles go down like that. But, you know, what you don't want after what the Giants have done so far up to this point, putting up a 9-6-1 record, making the playoffs, is a rookie with a lot of talent just becoming, you know, one of the Giants that we're going to talk about in a negative way, the way we talk about some of the others, you know, the whole Odell Beckham saga and a couple of others. And I won't even get into all the names, but, you know, that's the last thing you want to talk about. So, Darren, anything on the Giants?
Yeah, so many positives. I mean, listen, I've been the guy that's been picking on Daniel Jones for a while. And, again, and statistically, once again, he doesn't throw for 200 yards. But it doesn't matter if he's able to manage the game. Daniel Jones is not going to be a world beater, but he's shown that with the difference of coaching has done so much for this guy. I mean, he's in a place where he's actually able to perform really, really well. A lot of good things happened for the Giants. I thought this would be a closer game only because – you know, the Giants had a chance to put him away, and I figured Indy went hang around. The Giants left no doubt. It was like the scene in Remember the Titans where they ran it up on the racist coach. I mean, they left no doubt. I mean, they ran it up on him. You know, Saquon had his career high in yards with the running game this week. Brown, like you said, had good stats. And they put themselves in really good position for the playoffs because a couple of things worked out well. Minnesota lost. Now the Giants don't look at San Francisco in the 6-3 matchup. They look at Minnesota. Now, I'm not saying they're going to beat Minnesota. I'm not trying to say Minnesota didn't have a great year. But if you're the Giants, you played them to a draw in their place a couple of weeks ago and basically lost on a 61-yard field goal. I mean, so you got to feel relatively confident about where you're sitting right now, win or lose this week.
Listen, we talked about it weeks ago. That's the better opponent for the Giants in round one. They want no part of San Francisco.
San Francisco, man. They're good.
I agree, but they don't want any part of it because if San Francisco shuts down the run, they're in a load of trouble. So that was the good.
And I got to watch my words with the Jets because of being sensitive to DeMar Hamlin stuff. Because the word I wrote down was collapse, and I'm not going to use that right now. But the Jets just fell apart down the stretch. Michael White officially became not the guy 2 weeks ago. Can't wait for him to get back. Now he's not the guy. Now there's rumors about Salah's job. There's so many weird things. I don't think Salah should lose his job off this. But the one thing I'll say is this team is a defensive squad that has come out uninspired for 3 weeks in a row defensively. And, you know, they were 7-3 and now they're 7-9. You know, it's not a good look. I know they've had a few injuries, as is every other team in the NFL. So the injuries don't really matter. The offense can't put up 6 points against a Seattle team that was already reeling. Seattle's not that, wasn't playing very good. And Geno was good, but he wasn't amazing. The Jets couldn't figure out how to cover a backup tight end. The Jets couldn't get their offense moving at all. They were moving the ball down the field between like the 30s, a little bit okay, and then they would fall apart. It was really a tough game to watch. They were awful.
And listen, it was tough from the start because they started off, Seattle moved the ball right down the field. It's three plays at 73 yards. It's a touchdown. And bang, the Jets are down 7-0 right off the bat. And it's
60-yard run on the first play.
It's you know, Seattle keeps their playoff hopes alive with the win. They eliminate the Jets. But, you know, once those three plays happen, they go 73 yards. They move the ball down the field. They score. It just felt like that with that game that the Jets were basically just about done. And, you know, listen, you did make a point about the injuries. Everybody's got injuries, but we say this a lot, and that is the teams that are not the top 6-7 teams in the league, when they get a lot of injuries to key players, they don't have the depth to back them up. And losing those players becomes just a mess for them to recover from. But you're right. Listen, they were 7-3. They're now 7-9. You know, they're out. They're eliminated. You have a whole offseason to figure out what you're going to do with the quarterback situation. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. You know, is it Mike White? Is it, you know,
is it Wilson? I mean, hard to imagine, but, you know.
Yeah, and then it's going to be, you know, if it's not one of those guys,
Is it Garoppolo?
I have to think that it's going to be one of the free agent quarterbacks, because I can't imagine that they're going to draft another quarterback and go through a 2 or 3 year process again. So it's going to have to, because at this point now you've shown that you've put together a decent enough team that you can win some games. So I can't imagine that they're going to start over with a rookie quarterback. So you'd have to think that it's one of these, you know, top, I don't know, 20 quarterbacks, one of these 10 to 25 quarterbacks they're going to come over here, that they're going to get somehow to play. And whether it's Carr or Garoppolo or, you know, whoever.
Baker. It could be Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, whoever.
Listen, it could be Carson Wentz. I mean, I'm not saying that he's the answer. I'm just saying these are the kind of guys that are going to be out there. It's not going to be anyone that you're sitting there saying, oh, my God, I hope I get him, outside of Carr and Garoppolo. And they always have doubts about them.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. But, you know, the Jets, it's basically, you know, listen, wait, look till next year. We saw the improvements on defense. What we didn't see in the last few weeks was the pass rush and the penalty. I'm sorry, not the penalties, but the turnovers forced for the team. And if the Jets don't force turnovers on defense, they aren't going to win. The cornerbacks still play great. Gardner was good. You know, Reed is good. You know, listen, if you could ask me four positions that we have to fix on the Jets, it's pretty simple to me. I've been saying it all year about the center. I need a really good center. Obviously, you need a quarterback. I need a free safety that's better than Joyner is, because Joyner just is not the answer in that position. And we need another reliable tackle. And if we could get that, you feel like the starting unit is there. The depth may not be completely there, but at least you feel like you plug up all the holes that are a mystery to me for the Jets. But, you know, listen, they didn't deserve to make it. And the funny thing is, the Seattle game left everything on the table. Everything went right, okay? You know, the Dolphins lost. You know, even though the Patriots, you know, beat them, you know, you felt like Buffalo was going to beat New England playing for the home seat anyway. So you felt like all you had to do was beat Miami this week, who's probably playing without Tua most likely. And you have a shot to go to the playoffs. And they couldn't do this by winning any of the last six games. It's just a bad job. Just a bad job. They don't deserve it. And that's simple as that.
All right. So let's walk through the AFC. And this is at the moment right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, Kansas City's the one seed. They had a decent win at Denver. Denver held the Chiefs to 46 yards on the ground. They're going to need more from Pacheco, McKinnon, the host of running backs that they have. They're going to need more than that to do anything in the playoffs here. It's just
the one thing about Denver versus Kansas City, they haven't beaten Kansas City in years.
Yeah.
It's like 15 straight matchups, but the Chiefs never blow them out. It's always a game. Denver plays them, they play Mahomes better than any team in the league. I mean, you know, even if they lose to Buffalo or Cincinnati, Mahomes usually has a good game. But Denver kind of holds him somewhat in check. Denver's defense is really good. They just, you know, they've been a major disappointment this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never go off that game. We're going to see how they look against the Raiders to see if they have anything going on.
Okay. The 2-3 seeds are Buffalo and Cincinnati. We talked about them. We're still unsure what the schedule is going to be for them, but we'll find out. The 4 seed, it's going to be either Jacksonville or Tennessee. No change from last
game. Yeah.
Tennessee, you know, Tennessee did a horrible job against Dallas with no Tannehill. They just look lost at quarterback. They're trying to do anything they can. They still don't have a lot of receivers, but with no Tannehill, it just gets worse.
They didn't even have Henry that night either. So they were in bad shape. Dobbs has kind of taken over Waynes, which is actually a pretty smart move for them. Because Dobbs at least moved the ball a little bit against Dallas.
Yeah.
Waynes had shown nothing. I know he could run, but so could Dobbs. You don't need him to do that for you. It's hard to imagine Tennessee going into Jacksonville and winning. It just doesn't seem like it adds up. You figure Jacksonville should grab that 4 seed.
And Jacksonville on the other side actually had a very convincing 31-3 win over the Texans. Etienne, Hasty had running touchdowns. They had a third touchdown from Connor. They're gonna play Tennessee well this week. I don't know if they're gonna win, but they're gonna play him well. We'll see what happens. The 5 seed at the moment is the Ravens, and when we talk about the Ravens, it's all about the run. And they had a 16-13 loss to the Steelers this week. Pickett led a great comeback. He was down 13-6 going to the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh stays alive. They are right out of the playoffs at the moment, but they stay alive. We'll come back to them in a sec. The 6th seed is the Chargers. Chargers looking really well, really good. They had a 31-10 win over the Rams this week. We said it last week, Bosa's back. The offense seems to be rolling. Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Herbert's throwing the ball all over the place. Going to still have to watch to see if he does not have many interceptions come the playoff time. But they at the moment are the 6th, and the 7th seed right now is New England. They had a 23-21 win over Miami, and Miami now is looking up. Skylar Thompson was in for the injured Bridgewater, who was in for the injured Tua. It's, the quarterback situation with the Dolphins is a mess right now. But here's what it comes down to. You know, New England is the 8th seed.
7th seed.
They win, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Miami and Pittsburgh need help, so Miami would need New England to lose, and they need to win, and they need a New England loss,
which is not out of the question because New England is playing Buffalo,
right? And then Pittsburgh needs a win, and then they need New England and Miami to both lose to get in, and that's basically it for the AFC playoff picture. Anything to add on the AFC picture, Darren?
Well, here's the thing. It's kind of funny, right? You look at it, and Miami has collapsed just like the Jets have. And I know Tua Tagovailoa has been out for a couple of games, but he's been in there for a few of those as well. Miami's defense not really impressive. The thing about it is that you feel like New England's probably going to lose. And part of you, not that I have any confidence in the Jets, but I don't have much confidence in Miami either. Part of you thinks Pittsburgh's going to find their way to sneak in. The other thing is that I'm not saying it's definite. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Jets will beat Miami, but I think they could. And actually, right now they're the favorite, which makes no sense. So, but I think Pittsburgh wins their game this week against Cleveland, and they're going to put themselves in position. The other cool thing in this matchup is if the Ravens lose to the Bengals this week, which you feel like there's a good chance of that happening, the Chargers get the 5. The 5-6 is so huge in both conferences because the division winner of the 4 of the South is weak.
In both
do you want to play Cincinnati right now? Just Cincinnati. I'm just saying it may not be at the end. Right now, You want to play Cincinnati or you want to play Jacksonville? I mean, who do you want to play?
Yeah.
You're going to take your chances with Jacksonville. You don't want to have to go into the jungle and play the defending AFC champions. Nobody does.
And the same thing's going to be said when we talk about
the NFC. Absolutely. You want to play the Bucs or you want to play the Vikes? And you know, that might not be as big a disparity, but it's still a disparity.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of where it sits there. But, yeah, it comes down to, you know, it's the Patriots control their own destiny. Somehow they found a way to do that with good defense, not good quarterback play, good running game, good defense, and they're in position. And everybody else collapsing around them.
And that's it. They got themselves in with two teams collapsing, basically, the Jets and the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, NFC picture. So Philadelphia at this moment is the one seed. Minshew, although was good the week before, was not good this week. Philadelphia only ran for 67 yards. And if there's no Jalen Hurts and you stop the Philly run, you basically stop Philly. I mean, we've seen this now time after time. They're the one seed. San Francisco is the two seed. They won 37-34 against Las Vegas. San Francisco, though, gave up 500 yards of offense to Stidham and Jacobs and Adams and Waller. It was an interception in overtime that set up the San Francisco field goal for the win. Purdy was good again. You're going to see McCaffrey all over the place. I mean, they have a bunch of stars. We said this time and time again.
Doing it without Debo also. Remember that. Debo's not playing.
And then we get to the three seed. The three seed at the moment is Minnesota. They lost 41-17 to Green Bay, who has found themselves back into this picture. We'll get to them in a minute. Green Bay rolled. I mean, they were up 27-3 at the half. They held Cousins down. They held the wide receivers in check. Trust me, I had Jefferson. One catch for 15 yards in my fantasy championship is not helping me win, that's for sure. Rodgers, James, Jones, Dillon, Lazard, Tanya, they were all over the place. And I think this is the Green Bay offense we thought we were going to see for most of the year, which we really haven't seen. And this was one of the first games I can honestly tell you this year I've seen Green Bay, and I didn't say I thought Rodgers looked old. So we'll see what happens with this team. We'll get to Green Bay in 2 seconds. So the four seed is Tampa Bay. They got in. They wound up winning the division with a 30-24 win over Carolina. Brady threw the ball all over the place, 432 yards and 3 touchdowns. Evans had 207 yards. He had 3 touchdowns. Carolina battled in this game. They battled. A couple of changes, a couple of good players. They may be back in this race next year, but Tampa Bay ends this right now. They're 8-8 at the moment. They're the four seed. The five seed is Dallas. Dallas had a very convincing win this week over Tennessee. The six seed is the Giants. And then the seven seed, we talked a little bit about it, Seattle. Seattle beat the Jets. Seattle wins.
And they're not in.
Seattle wins and a Green Bay loss, and they're in. Detroit plays Green Bay. The winner is going to really be if Detroit wins, they still need Seattle to lose. If Green Bay wins, they're in.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible that the seventh seed has come down to this at this point. But you got three teams very similar to the AFC with a chance going into this final week. Darren, NFC picture, anything to bring up, talk about?
I'm going to start with Philly at the one, right?
Yeah.
The loss of Lane Johnson at tackle killed the running game, okay? Big. It's not – Jalen Hurts is a huge part of it. Don't get me wrong. But the O-line on that team is what was controlling the game for them. And losing Lane Johnson, who's a stud tackle, has really hurt them. Philly wins this week, and they're the one seed. They lose, and San Francisco wins. San Francisco's the one seed. So everybody's fighting for that bye. I think you'll see Hurts this week. I don't think Minshew was very good at all last week. I think the running game, though, you give a little bit of credit to the Saints defense. What's up?
And the third option is if Philadelphia loses and San Francisco loses and Dallas wins, Dallas is the one seed.
It just doesn't seem likely, but it's certainly possible.
It's definitely possible.
Exactly. So there's a lot going on with that. You know, the 49ers play the Cardinals. You expect them to roll this week. Both the Eagles and 49ers are 2 touchdown favorites this week, and the Eagles are playing the Giants. That tells you how much they think they're going to come out to blow the doors off. Green Bay being the 7th seed with the win. The thing about Green Bay is the defense has really come to life a little bit too. The offense is clicking, but now the defense is really, you know, making plays, stopping the run again. They seem a little bit fired up. You know, part of me is hoping Detroit finds their way in. Just because they've been a fun story. They started off, where is Dan Campbell going to get fired during the season? He did not, but instead he kind of guaranteed his job for next year with a pretty good run with a team that has decent amount of talent, but not a ton of depth, and a quarterback that nobody liked going in. Then now people are saying, hey, Goff's pretty good.
Well, if they want to get in, they got to do themselves the favor first and beat Green Bay.
Well, it's going to be last. They're going to know if they have a shot after the Seattle game, which is earlier.
Yep.
And I think the Rams will give Seattle a little bit of a battle. I don't know if they'll win it, but I think the Rams, I think Baker's going to come out. He's playing for a job next year. He knows it's not in L.A. because it's Stafford's team, and he doesn't want to be there. He wants to be the star. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in that one. You know, Seattle, again, you know, they're the 7th seed right now, but they lose that if Green Bay wins because of the conference. It's just the way it kind of falls down with the division and conference records and stuff like that. But I'd like to see, I'd like to see Philly is the one. I'd really, you got some pretty good playoff matchups if they stay the same. You'll have Rodgers against San Francisco, which will probably be tough on Green Bay, but you never know. You have the superstar quarterback against the great team. The Giants in Minnesota, they played to a duel a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, Brady against the Cowboys is still good theater. So there's a lot of interesting things going on in the NFC. The AFC is a little bit more jumbled. Obviously, with the missed game, it makes everything off a little bit more. And the top heaviness of that division, that conference, you feel like the top three are really good. Here, you really like the top two. I don't think anybody's sitting there saying, wow, I think Minnesota's going to the bowl. I think more people are thinking Philly and San Francisco. And the other one, there's going to be people that say Cincinnati. There's going to be people that say Kansas City, people that say Buffalo, and people that say the Los Angeles Chargers, because the Chargers are starting to click a little bit. There are going to be people that like the Chargers to do a lot in this. And I think that that's a sneaky good team right now. And that's where we sit.
Preseason pick, Philadelphia Chargers.
I know. You don't want to go against that now.
Okay, so that takes care of the NFL. Let's talk a little college. We had some good bowl games within the last week. Darren, why don't you take it away for a little bit? We'll throw some other
I'm going to touch on a couple of good bowls because we had a lot of really good ones this year, really competitive. I want to start off with Mississippi State going out a winner for Mike Leach. I know, you know, they had the pirate on the helmet. They're playing in Raymond James Stadium with the pirate chip. If you don't know anything about Mike Leach, he loved pirates. There were coaches all over college football saluting him, you know, whether they were wearing state shirts or just talking about Leach all over the place. They had the special flag for Mike. It was a real emotional game, and I was happy to see Mississippi State win. The funny thing was the spread was 3.5 by the time the game kicked off. The game was a 3-point game, you know, and Illinois starts doing the lateral thing. Mississippi State picks up a fumble lateral and runs it back for the cover, wins by 9. Then there's some pushing and shoving at the end. So that was kind of interesting. The Cotton Bowl was a great game. USC led 45-30 with 4:07 to go, and Tulane scored 16 points in the final 4:07 to beat them. You don't expect Tulane to do that to a Pac-12 squad. And that was really kind of cool. There was a safety involved after a muffed kickoff. A whole bunch of things went right for Tulane, but they found a way. And the small school finds a way to beat the big school. So you thought it was really cool. Just because Kev's not here, I'll mention it. South Carolina did everything they could against Notre Dame, running fake field goals and trick plays all over the place. 2 interceptions for touchdowns, but it wasn't enough. Notre Dame beat them 45-38. Very, very good game. There were a lot of other good games. There was one that was really good, Wyoming and Ohio, that was only on the Barstool app. You couldn't even watch it. Game came down to the last, like, 30 seconds. So there were a lot of interesting games. And also you had a couple that were brutal just because of all the opt-outs. So you looked at Purdue lost to LSU 63-7. They had nobody playing. You're sitting there watching a major bowl game on January 2nd, and it's 63-7. The other one that was awful was Kentucky-Iowa.
21-0.
Played. The game was 21-0, but only because Iowa returned two interceptions for touchdowns. It was really a 7-0 game. There was nothing going on in some games because of the opt-outs and the transfer portal. But nonetheless, really exciting bowl season for the most part. A lot of really competitive games. And then we had the two semifinals, which were kind of epic. TCU 51, Michigan 45.
Crazy.
The amount of points that were, and I, you guys know I missed the first half. I on Saturdays, I do stuff with my daughter, and I was trying to catch up. It was like, you guys are texting, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? It was
44 points scored in the third quarter alone. TCU wins 51-45. It was back and forth. You thought TCU was going to win. You thought Michigan was going to win, back and forth. Michigan kept trying to catch them at some point. TCU survives. The Horned Frogs.
The Horny Toads. 1,000 yards of offense in this game combined. Michigan averaged giving up 13.4 points a game. Fifth best in the country this year. TCU put up 51 on them. I thought TCU would score enough points to keep it competitive. I didn't think this game would be 51-45. And Michigan, whose offense wasn't very good this year, you know, put up 45 against a pretty good defensive TCU team. Max Duggan was benched to start the season, finished second in the Heisman Trophy, in the Heisman Trophy balloting. And, you know, he's got his team in the final. First unranked team to start the season to make it to the championship game. So really, really proud of the Horny Toads. I thought they did a great job. They never relinquished that lead. They held it, and they held on. And, you know, I've been talking about Quentin Johnson for quite a few weeks now. You guys got to see a little bit of his talent in that game for TCU. The starting running back, Walker, went down, but DeMarcado did a really nice job. You know, they're a good, balanced team. And then they go up against Georgia, which is the 42-41 winner over – the Ohio State missing the 50-yard field goal to win it at the gun. And now, I'm going to say one thing before we get into this game. Stop with the 8 o'clock start on New Year's Eve. If you have a family, if you have something, I can't be watching this game while the kids are waiting to sit there and talk about the ball dropping. Start this game at 7. Start the other one at 3. What could, what if we went to overtime? We're going to watch this thing until 12:45 in the morning?
It was horrible.
It's horrible. And the college games are longer than pro games. They're brutal in the amount of time because they score so quickly sometimes. Be smart enough. Nobody, unless you're a single guy or you went to Georgia or Ohio State, you're not watching the end of it. You can't. You can't. If you have a family, you can't do it.
And I felt, honestly, I know they don't care about it, but I felt bad for all the fans in the stands.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's got to be brutal. Ohio State led in this game 21-7 at the half. They took a 38-24 lead in the fourth quarter. Georgia came right back. Georgia came back with all the firepower. And at the end, Ohio State had a chance to win it anyway with a field goal and missed. So
Georgia took the lead with 54 seconds left, and Ohio State got down the field. Stroud played great, you know, as did Bennett. Both quarterbacks were outstanding. Again, you expected, you know, I expected it to be a good game, but I thought Georgia would win by a late touchdown. I didn't think it'd be a 1-point game, and I was surprised at how competitive it was. Yep. But we had two great semifinals. You only hope that the final is anywhere near as good as these two semifinals were.
Georgia is right now the line's at 13, so Georgia's a 13-point favorite at the moment. I'm gonna say that TCU can't do this two games in a row, but they just put 51 points up on Michigan. You know,
they're a gritty squad. I do right now. I like TCU to cover. Obviously, we'll make the final pick on the on Facebook that day. But if you're going to ask me right now, I'd be taking TCU in the 13, just because I think that they're a team that. They had an amazing year. An overtime loss to Kansas State's the only blemish.
We'll put a wrap on the college football season next week. A couple of Major League Baseball items that came up. I know you're going to love this one, Darren. Pete Rose placed the first sports bet in Ohio legally.
That was awesome.
He put it on the Red Sox to win the World Series. Rose is 81 years old now. In other news, Brian Sabian joins Cashman as an executive assistant in the Yankee organization. A couple of player information pieces. Dom Smith signed with the Washington Nationals, former New York Met. And we saw the Red Sox finally come out and give a big contract to a player. This is the contract that should have gave to Mookie Betts, what, 4 years ago?
Yep, well, they let him off.
It goes to Devers for 11 years at $331 million. It's a big contract. He's a hell of a ball player. So,
my only question about Devers eventually is he going to become a DH? Because he's a big guy now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, is he going to be a kind of guy that's able to be a third baseman forever? You know what I mean?
If he follows the normal path that we've seen these big guys, he'll go from third to first, and then from first to DH is the normal course anyway. We'll see if that holds out. What else you got, Darren?
Hey, Cubs signed Hosmer today, too.
And Cubs signed Hosmer.
I'm not right. saying he's a big piece, but he's a steadying piece for a young team. This guy must be like, how come I get cursed? I get to go to a team when they're building, and then once they build up, they want somebody better than me. But you know what? He's a steady first baseman. He doesn't hit great all year long, but in clutch spots, he does. Just a little college basketball. We talked about it a little earlier, just inadvertently, but the number one team in the land, Purdue lost. The number two team in the land, UConn, lost to at Xavier as well. So Purdue lost at home to Rutgers. And when you want to catch a team in conference play, a good team on the road, the first 2 weeks of January are it because the students aren't back yet and the stadium just isn't as loud. It's just the way it works out. Students will be back in the next couple of weeks, and it becomes a little bit harder. But you catch them early. I mean, Purdue was rocking and all that stuff, but Rutgers played really, really well. They're a physical team. They beat Purdue 2 years in a row. Purdue gets the one seed and the one ranking, and then they play Rutgers and they lose it 2 years in a row. I put Houston as my one this week. I put Purdue as my two. Kansas 3. I'm going to put Arizona 4 and UConn 5. And, you know, it's not for any other reason that UConn drops that far. I actually had Virginia in it, and then they lost last night. A lot of upsets this week. Xavier over UConn, like we said, and Rutgers over Purdue. Washington State beat up USC. Kansas State won two huge games. They beat West Virginia at home. Then they went into Texas last night, put 116 points on them. And that's not expected. The K-State's not expected to be an offense. And Texas is Chris Beard, even though he wasn't coaching last night, with that great defense. Iowa State routed Baylor at Hilton, and then they went tonight and they won in Oklahoma. Pitt beat North Carolina, and they beat Virginia. So you had all those upsets. And Missouri, the other team, they beat Kentucky up pretty good. They had already beaten Illinois really good, and right now they're winning on the road at Arkansas. So there's a lot of teams that you don't know about that are playing really well. Yep.
We also saw Gonzaga with a big win over Pepperdine. Drew Timmy had 35 points, 10 rebounds. Great performance.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, talk about them in a second, because there's a lot of big games coming up now. Now we're in conference play and the matchups are huge. So this weekend you got Alabama at home against Kentucky. On paper, Alabama's better, but it's still Kentucky. So you expect them to win. You expect it to be a good game. Number 16, Wisconsin heads to Illinois. That's not an easy matchup. Wisconsin struggled with Minnesota last night, so you don't know what's going to happen. Iowa State 25 heads to TCU. Iowa State just won tonight. TCU's playing right now against Baylor, so we'll see what happens there. Number 13, Arkansas heads to Auburn 22. Auburn just lost tonight at Georgia, who hadn't beaten a ranked team in a couple of years, so that was a big one. And Gonzaga goes to a very good Santa Clara team this weekend. And I know people don't think about Santa Clara, but the Bronx are good, and they're 13-4. And I'm not saying that they're gonna lose to Santa Clara, but Santa Clara is gonna give them a game. There's a lot of interesting things going on in college basketball, and it's really gonna start, hitting ahead real soon. College of Charleston is ranked; they won their 14th in a row tonight. You don't expect teams out of conferences like that to be, ranked, and they are right now, and they're still going to be in a race against Wilmington. So there's a lot of cool things to watch for. College basketball is really starting to get going now. There are no great teams. There are a bunch of really good teams, and you're going to see that bubble again with a lot of teams that are 17-14 and 16-14 having a look of getting into the tournament, which used to be something you would never even dream about. And now it looks like it could definitely happen. Yeah. So that's my take on college. Any other thoughts, G?
No, NHL top five?
NHL top five, you know, they lost last night, I think, but Boston I still keep as my one.
I have Boston one.
I have Carolina two.
I have Carolina two.
I got Dallas three.
I don't have Dallas in the top five. I have Vegas at three.
I have Toronto as my four.
I have Tampa as my four and Toronto as my five.
I have Vegas as my five and Tampa as my six, just off the pace.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of good things happened. They had the outdoor game, which is always fun, up in Fenway between Boston and Pittsburgh. You know, I mean, listen, hockey to me gets really exciting as we get closer to you know, to March, April, as we get near it. But a lot of good games going on right now. A lot of good hockey being played.
You want to talk a little NBA? Brooklyn's on a hell of a winning streak.
Lost tonight, though. They just lost tonight. To Chicago.
Yep. Top five, I have Boston, Brooklyn, Denver, Memphis, Cleveland. That's my top five right now.
First four are right there. I have Milwaukee as my five and Cleveland and Dallas is my six. Cleveland is a seven. So right there, you know, but Boston's, you know, still playing well, even though they lost the other night. Brooklyn lost tonight. Denver's a really good team. They really are. Memphis is on a roll. Milwaukee's been a little slumping lately. So I kept them in the top five for one more week. If they continue to slump, I'll have to move them.
And we saw Donovan Mitchell put up 71 the other night. Worth noting.
You know, the thing is, it was the same night as everything that happened with Hamlin. Yep. And even in his press conference, he was just praying for the kid. You know, 71 points is not an easy task. Hard to do.
In a future episode, we're going to have to talk about the increased scoring in the NBA and how all these players are putting up huge, huge games. We never saw this. We haven't seen this in ever, basically, where these guys are putting up 50 and 60 at the drop of a hat. So
this was basketball in the early 80s when you had Showtime and you had George Gervin and Alex English and all these guys putting up 50 a night. You don't see it that much.
Except the three-pointer wasn't as prevalent as it is now. So no, now it's a hell of a lot easier to get there.
Yeah, a lot more pull-up jumpers back in the day.
Yeah,
but you know the Iceman was always good for something like that. Yeah, the NBA has decided to go the same route as the NFL, where fantasy means more than anything else, and we want to see scoring and we want to see points and freedom of motion. And again, you know, everybody, I know you particularly make fun of me. I like watching those Knicks play 73-69 thrillers against Miami, where baskets came at a premium. I know that's a little bit archaic to some people. But I like the intensity of defense. I kind of miss it in football a little bit, even though obviously with the injury this week, it's weird to talk about. But I do like the fact that they're letting corners play a little bit more. They're not calling pass interference every time they run into somebody. Now it's got to be a little bit more blatant. The one thing I will say about the NFL side of that is that I don't even know what pass interference is anymore, because sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't. I do like defensive sport. I do like when the defense is allowed to play a little bit. But the NBA, I was watching a weird thing last night, Sacramento against Utah, because everybody was glued to this one. So Sacramento takes the lead with 0.4 seconds to go. Go up two, and Utah has no timeouts. They throw the ball down court. Markkanen catches it, turns, shoots, and buries a three at the buzzer late. He couldn't get it out in 0.4 seconds. It was just in his fingertips. And with the replay, it's impossible to pull one over on anybody. But you know, the NBA, everybody can shoot now. 7-footers are just putting up threes like it's nothing. It's a different game, different sport.
All right, let's hit some NFL picks before we wrap it up tonight.
All right, my friend.
I will take my first pick for week 18. Week 18, always the craziest week to try to predict, because there's so many players not playing or stuff is not up for grabs. My first one is I am taking Kansas City -9.5 against the Raiders on Saturday. I think Kansas City wants to put an exclamation point on this. They don't want the fact that the game that's missing to come up and people to be asking a question of, do they deserve that one seed? I think they put the question, the exclamation point on this. So I'm taking Kansas City minus the 9.5. My second game, I'm going to Tennessee, literally and figuratively. I'm taking the Titans.
Okay.
I am taking the Titans. I think they get the job done. I think it's a Derrick Henry game. The spread is Tennessee plus 6, and I just think it's too much because even if Jacksonville wins, I don't see them winning by a touchdown. So I'm taking Tennessee as my second. And my third pick, I'm taking the Chargers. They're on a roll. They don't want anything to stop this train right now. The spread is the Chargers plus 2.5 because I guess they're going to start sitting people. I still think they're going to beat the Broncos. I'm taking the Chargers plus 2.5. Darren.
Well, I'm going to start with Pittsburgh as my top bet. I'm going to take Pittsburgh to beat Cleveland. Right now I have the spread of 2.5 for Pittsburgh. And I'm going to take them to put pressure on to make sure that either New England or Miami win. I think Pittsburgh can escape and win that game. I'm going to agree with you on the Chargers. I think that the Chargers are just better than Denver. I know they're saying they're going to try to sit some people. I don't know if they're going to. If they're playing for that, if they're playing for that 5 seed, I'd play my butt off to get to go play Tennessee or Jacksonville and try to avoid Cincinnati if I could, or Kansas City or Buffalo, whoever falls to the 3. My third one's going to be a little bit of the upset. I'm taking the Rams plus the 6.5 against Seattle. I don't know if they're going to win it, but I think the game's going to be competitive. I think that the Rams are a pretty good team under Baker. They ran into a buzzsaw with the Chargers last week, but they've looked good outside of that, and I think that they're going to put up some points against a Seattle team that's good but not great. So those are my three picks. We don't have Kev's picks, but we'll have them posted for you guys on Facebook so you know who we have. And we'll also make sure that we give you guys the college championship game on Monday. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on, G?
No, that's it. We will see what the last week of the NFL season brings us, and we'll see if any decisions made about this Cincinnati, Baltimore, Buffalo makeup game, if that's what they're going to do. We'll see what happens with that. But I got nothing else, Darren.
Yeah, I mean, going forward, we're going to be sitting there doing a lot of analysis on the playoff games each week. So we'll be breaking them down the best that we can to kind of give you any kind of betting advantages. Not that there really is much from us, but we'll do the best we can with that. Outside of that, we're looking forward to seeing some playoff football. And really, obviously, we'll end the way we started, just hoping that DeMar Hamlin comes out healthy. Really want him to... We just want him to enjoy the rest of his life. And if he ever played football again, fantastic. But I don't really care about that. I just want the young man to walk out of the hospital and be good. So we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Gino, missing Kev, obviously. Kev gives us that smart insight that the two Italian guys don't really do. But he gives us those dramatic pauses in between that we enjoy. But we do miss him. And hopefully he'll be back next week with us. You can download our show anywhere you get your podcast from, whether it's an Apple product, whether it's TuneIn, whether it's Spotify, whether it's anywhere, basically. You can do it off Alexa. It doesn't matter. You have any questions, comments, cries of hysteria, just let us know what you're thinking. We'd love to know a little bit more. I know, Gino, you want to make a point as I'm wrapping up.
I got a shout-out to the boys in Tennessee who will be listening to this while I'm actually down there. So,
okay, very, very cool. Listen, if you have any questions, comments, you see something we post, you like it, share it. We're just trying to get the show out there to as many people as possible. We want to do a good show. So, any of your feedback is more than appreciated. And I know that this is probably a short show for us, which probably isn't bad for you guys, but a short show for us. And obviously a little bit of a serious topic to start, but, this is a sports show. So we're going to talk a little bit about sports every single week. And that's really what we do. But without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
This has been the Sports Kings from Queens.